ESPN 102.5 The Game. Luke Rogers, Brain Gall.
Just breaking it down in here.
I have no idea what that is, but I'm sure it's way cooler than me.
Duran Duran.
Oh, I should have known that. That's older. Julian Council spinning the hits. Pete Weber joining us here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. A little downtime for you, Pete. How you feeling, man?
It's unbelievable, is it not? I mean, to go this long between games. The Predators could fall behind in the standings simply by not playing the way things are going right now. A game on Friday and not again until the following Wednesday. Unprecedented.
Well, it's one game in like 8 days. I can't remember that without like an Olympic break. It's kind of strange. Is that have an impact on the team at all that's playing really, really good hockey?
When you're going well, you want to keep on playing. That's for certain. I think part of what got the team going well was that long stretch of playing virtually every other day. So, yeah, it's time to, you're going to have to regenerate now. That's what they have to do.
Hey, Pete, Luke Rogers here. Question for you.
Yes,
Ryan Ellis is set to return.
Do I call you Mr. Rogers? Or?
Oh.
That's, well, my dad,
I don't think he's ever gotten that before, Pete.
I've never gotten that one. My father.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood.
It is. At least my dad says he became a doctor, so he wasn't Mr. Rogers anymore. He's Dr. Rogers. Ryan Ellis going to return. Who sits on that for the defenseman, or do they carry an extra defenseman on the roster? What are they going to do from a roster standpoint when they bring Ellis back into the fold?
Great conundrum there. Yeah, what do you do? And then, you know, you can't assume total health upon the time of his return. So you might have to carry a little extra there just to be backed up. And not saying that he's going to be fragile coming back, but it's amazing how these things tend to work themselves out. Like with another injury, for example, not wishing that on anybody. But that usually seems to be what happens.
No, I was thinking about it last night, Pete. I'm going, I really want this team to carry all eight of them to the end of the season, because you get into the postseason and you always lose players once you get to the postseason.
Well, and certainly the Predators are a prime example of that this last postseason, were they not? I mean, I think the busiest guys were the trainers or the doctors.
Pete Weber joining us here. Let me ask you just in general about Vegas as sort of an idea, because obviously the NHL is sort of asking about Seattle now, and we sort of knew that Seattle was kind of a package deal with Vegas at some point, and they're trying to work out the expansion bid or whatever. Is it good for the sport that an expansion team can step right in and be successful? Whether or not they have staying power, forget that. They've been a good product early for their fans and for the sport as a whole. That's got to be good for the sport, right?
Yeah, the most important thing we can do in sports, no matter which of the sports it is, the most important commodity for a fan, and whether new or veteran, is to have legitimate hope that your team can be competitive. And I think that previous expansions, not so the case. The Predators were lucky in how much they were given for their then $80 million. It was $500 million for the Golden Knights, and the price tag has already been established for Seattle at $650 million. So obviously they're going to be given more generous expansion draft prospects from which to choose. And the interesting thing, now the last expansion, the Predators, Atlanta Thrashers, Columbus and Minnesota came in a wave of three different expansions. Predators in 98, Thrashers in 99, and then Columbus and Minnesota joined together in 2000. That was the most interesting, the latter of those expansion drafts, because you had two teams competing from whom they were going after. I think it's far better to have just one at a time, which would be the case if Seattle is accepted.
Yeah, very interesting stuff there. What was your favorite storyline from Friday night? Is it the expansion franchise meeting for the first time in Nashville? Is it Subban on Subban crime? Is it James Neal back? Which one is your what's the one that sort of got you the most excited?
Well, I love seeing and talking with James Neal on Friday morning. The other thing, though, is that the constant, and I referred back to this, it goes back to the days of Phil and Tony Esposito. Phil Esposito scored, I think, not once but twice on his little brother Tony and their first going against each other. And Phil's mother called and gave him no end of, let's see, heck, right, for scoring on young brother Tony. Young brother Tony turned out to do all right. His rookie season, he had 15 shutouts. But now PK had, what, I think, four shots blocked trying to go at his brother the other night. He got one shot on goal. But had he scored, Well, that would have been the story without any question.
Yeah, very interesting stuff. Pete Weber joining us here. The one thing I will say is it was good. First of all, Predators not normally playing from behind. They've been playing with leads all season.
Yes.
They played from behind most of Friday. They did come back and take the lead. And then they just couldn't. I mean, it's just one of those hockey things, right? I mean, it's nothing, no big overarching concern about the fact that the Knights scored with 40 seconds to go and they couldn't score on Malcolm in the shootout. There was no real major concerning takeaway from that, right?
Nothing major, no. I mean, you want to get the extra point. They did not. They weren't able to do that. And, that was as lengthy a shootout with just one scorer
that
I can recall in Predators history. Each side had six shots. So I was waiting to see if they kept on going. If we go back to that replay of a Rangers-Capitals game from years ago, when I believe it was Merrick Malik scored as the 16th shooter in the shootout to finally decide that one. So this was, in a way, that was approaching history too.
Pete Weber joining us here. Now the Predators have a couple, obviously they have some time off either before the Vegas game and now after the Vegas game. But Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, all on the on the sort of the Pacific Northwest swing up there, Edmonton,
yeah.
Vancouver, and Calgary. Not any of these teams playing spectacular hockey right now, but all of them very talented. What are the challenges of sort of having those three games in 4 days that far from home?
Yeah, well, not seeing Edmonton yet. That's going to be interesting. We've certainly seen a lot of video on them. But we got to keep in mind, Calgary, the final game of the trip, they beat the Predators here in a shootout earlier. And Vancouver surprised the Predators as well. So they're not going to go in asleep as to the possibilities of what these teams do. The most curious storyline, though, I think, is the second stop at Edmonton, where so much was expected of them after last year, and they have delivered to this point in time so little. So you figure you hate to face an opponent that you would say of they are due. But Edmonton is definitely due.
Mm.
We know they have a lot of talent. They've not had their goaltender, Cam Talbot, for a good portion of this year. So they're going with Mr. Brossois, and people are still learning how to pronounce his name. The better he plays, the easier it will be to come to pronounce. So the one thing I'm going to say for our fans this week, get your naps in. Wednesday night will be a 9 o'clock start. It will be 8 o'clock the following night at Edmonton. And then for Hockey Night in Canada, we will be the late game on Saturday in Calgary. Again, a 9 o'clock Central Time start.
Pete Weber joining us here. The Kings have won 8 straight. St. Louis has won 4 straight. Of the teams, Winnipeg, St. Louis, and Vegas, I'm going to throw those three in. Of those three, which one has the least staying power, if that makes sense?
I would just say that it's probably going to be Vegas because they're not going to have the depth behind them, though they've surprised everybody so far. And if Terry Crisp's old player in Tampa, when you think about it, Gerard Gallant, the coach of the Vegas Golden Knights, right now he's the slam dunk winner for the Jack Adams Award as the coach of the year to this point. But I would think Vegas would be most prone there. Then we're going to find out quickly, too. Jaden Schwartz injured his ankle. He'd been a big part of that number one line for St. Louis. They still have Vladimir Tarasenko, who got the overtime winner last night. But my educated guess is going to be Vegas.
Pete, always a pleasure, man. We'll be listening very, very late this week, and we will nap as much as possible. Thank you, man.
I think that's a good idea. Thank you, and I hope everybody enjoyed the fact that the Bills slogged through the snow yesterday, and they came away with a victory in overtime over those vaunted Indianapolis Colts. And after the game was over, guys, I just heard LeSean McCoy say they had 17 additional inches of snow.
I thought it was awesome. I loved watching it.
That's the impact of Joe Webb. You get Joe Webb in there, you're back in the playoffs as a 6-8.
You got it. And now tied in that situation. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Pete.
Right, thanks, Pete. Don't miss, by the way, our Predators watch party Wednesday night at Village Pub, located at 1308 McGavick Pike in East Nashville. Jared and the GM will be broadcasting live from 2 to 6 and hanging out afterwards as your Nashville Predators take on Western Conference foe, the Vancouver Knuckleheads. Plus, you'll have a chance to win tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Also, make sure to join the game Thursday night at Frisky Frogs on Demumbrian and Saturday evening at Scoreboard Bar. So keep that all straight. Village Pub Wednesday, Frisky Frogs on Thursday, Scoreboard Bar and Grill on Saturday. So all things Preds viewing party. We got you guys covered right here, of course, on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I want to ask you, Luke, when we come back, about that expansion game and about that expansion franchise and about that expansion team, because I think it applies to all sports, and I want to know what you think, if it's good or bad for the NHL, what Vegas is doing right now. We'll do that when we come back right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.